In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
Hi, Vidur.
Oh, hi, unknown person.
Oh, myself, Vikram.
Oh, yourself, Vikram. Myself, Vidur. Nice to meet yourself, Vikram.
Thanks.
Mind telling the good folk, yourself, Vikram, what we're doing here?
For sure, self. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250, we toss a coin, heads argues for, and tails argues not for.
Simple enough. Not for, also known as against.
Keep forgetting that one, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple word if you ask me. But
yeah.
Anyway, and the movie we are going for and against today is actually a 20-plus years old cult classic, comedy, stoner, noir, which in fact has exceeded its cult classic standard to now just become a mainstream classic, and I think I've built it enough. The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it's aight.
It's aight?
Uh-huh. I'm playing this one really close to the chest, bro.
Really? It's aight?
It's aight.
That's all you're giving
it's
me?
It's aight, man.
Okay, why don't we just get to the coin toss then, Vikram? So you don't need to play cards so close to your chest. You can give me more than it's aight. At least tell me, have you watched the movie recently?
Once, definitely in the past 5 years, I would say.
That's not that much. Most people who love this movie, they revisit it over and over.
Oh, really? Are you one of them?
I might be one of those people, and maybe I just don't revisit it. Or I might not be, which is why I haven't seen this movie in a while.
Okay, so have you seen this movie in a while?
Not in a while.
Okay, got it.
The point is, I'm excited for the feud, because I get to watch the movie again and reevaluate my thoughts.
Of course, repurpose your thoughts.
That's right. So should we get to it?
Let's do it. So I'll be tossing the coin again, heads argues for and tails argues against. Here we go. And I got heads. I will gladly open up my cards and put them on the table. I love this movie. I watched it maybe 10 or 12 times over ever since I watched it for the first time. And I cannot be more excited.
You have opened up your cards. And it's Ace, King, Queen, Jack, Deuce.
No one likes poker here, Vidur. No one likes poker.
Your cards are nothing. Your cards are a lie. You're pretending now.
Dude, I got
four.
I got quads, okay? Just shut the f*** up and let's move on.
This movie is lame.
Uh-huh.
It's uninterpretable.
Uh-huh. Uninterpretable.
I hated it the first time I watched it. I swear to you, I saw this movie after a lot of hype.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously it was hype when it came out. By the time we got older, we were supposed to watch it.
It actually wasn't that hype.
By the time I watched it, it was already very hype. Which was obviously in the mid-2000s onwards. And didn't get it, didn't like it. Revisit it, didn't get it, didn't like it. And you know what? I will do you the courtesy of revisiting it again.
I mean, to all our listeners, these are Vidur's reworked and retooled thoughts. So just keep that in mind.
Bullshite.
We're actually going to find out how much
he
hates.
That's just like, you know, your opinion, man.
I know.
It's like the one quote I know from that movie right now.
Oh, dude, yeah, he does say that. All right.
Fine. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go reevaluate.
Let's do it.
Let's go watch the movie. Dude, this movie, like, sucks, man. And by dude, I mean his dudeness or your high dudeness or duder, whatever the El Duderado. This movie is so wannabe.
Dude, this movie spanned a pseudo-religion. Can you believe that? Called Dudism. There are 45,000 ordained priests of the religion Dudism in the world.
What do you have to do to become an ordained priest? Just smoke a dube?
Dude, I mean, that dude was genuine, by the way. Jeff Bridges once said that he was sitting on a table with this...
Okay, wait. Before you tell me that story, challenge, don't use the word dude.
Oh, no, I can't.
During this feud, apart from to refer to the dude.
Challenge not accepted, man. So Jeff Bridges was sitting, he'd just gone for some dinner, some fancy schmancy dinner, and he was on the table with him was this actual Zen master, like who followed Buddhism, and he was actually like a Buddhist priest or monk or whatever. And he actually leaned over to Jeff Bridges and said that a lot of things that you do in the movie, the dude is actually considered a Zen master by us Zen masters. Like the stuff he says, like the dude abides, and then, you know, that's like your opinion, man. Like all of those things are actually what Zen master thinking is like. Isn't that crazy?
No, that's not crazy at all. That just means that the Coen brothers made a super indulgent movie,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I can summarize this movie with one word. gutter ball. And people just went crazy
good
with it.
One, yeah.
It flopped because it should have flopped.
It didn't flop, actually. It just didn't do well initially.
There's no there, bro. The Emperor has no clothes with this movie. It's just like the circle joke of people who just convince themselves that this movie has something special to say. It's like Scientology, you know? I can't believe that there are whatever how many people believe Scientology. Similarly, yeah, sure, a lot of people are into this dudism thing. Big deal. It's not a good movie. It's a good character or philosophy at best.
I think it's a great movie. I think this movie is literally like good wine, man. Every time I watch it, it just ages so well. So before you say something outlandish, like it doesn't hold up or anything like that, I think this
of
movie
course
just,
it doesn't hold up.
This movie gets better every time I watch it. That is not a movie that doesn't hold up.
Jeff Bridges gets better every time you watch
it. This movie, there's something new I notice about this movie every time I watch it. And that just means there's so much depth to what these guys made. And before we start talking about it, I mean, obviously you'll harp on plot holes and plot devices not working.
There is no plot.
Consciously. The Coen brothers consciously didn't want to focus on the plot of this movie, and that's such a brilliant take on making a movie.
Just because they wanted their movie to suck consciously doesn't mean it sucks any less.
What?
Yeah, there's consciously no plot. Great, but there's
so
no
they wanted
plot.
They wanted it to be a bad movie, you're saying?
Clearly. You know what? Usually it's like one for them, one for me, right? The Coen brothers made Fargo, one of the greatest movies of all time. They won a lot of acclaim. Finally, after 10 years of making movies, they got some Academy Awards. His wife won Best Actress. They were rolling in it. They're like, how can we compete with Fargo? They can't. So they just went the other way. And they were like, you know what? One for them, one for me. This one's for me. I'm just going to burn $20 million or whatever it costs to make this movie and make a stoner comedy that's not really that funny, not really that stoner, doesn't have any plot. We'll just see what happens.
Right.
And it failed as it should have.
It didn't fail.
And then
fail.
It found like a cult. It failed. It found like a cult following later on.
No, it didn't fail. Monetarily, it has very high returns. Just the box office of the first 2 weeks weren't that good. But in terms of the sales of DVD and Blu-rays, this movie actually was a commercial success. Secondly, One for Them, One for Me doesn't work with the Coen brothers. It's always One for Them. All of their movies are what they want to make, including this one, including Fargo, including
Oh, really?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, or whatever it is.
Intolerable Cruelty, starring the two most beautiful people in the world at that time, that was One for Them.
Yeah.
No, it was just a commercial movie.
No, it wasn't. It has so much Coen Brothers influence in that movie. It was definitely One for Them. Coen Brothers, Nolan, all of these guys are not applicable to the One for Them, One for Me rule. It's the
except
it's the
when it comes
average
to
middlemen actors and filmmakers who are part of that rule. It doesn't apply to them, man. All of their movies are what they want to make.
Except this movie. This movie is extra what they want to make. It's like a strike. Except not in bowling, like in baseball.
Okay. I mean, let's just move on. Let's move on
this
from our general
left
opinion of
the
this
audience
movie.
Split.
No. You have another one up your sleeve, which you can just use right now so we can get it over with?
This movie stinks like bowling shoes.
Oh, God. The first one is better.
That one I made up right now.
Clearly. Can we move on? I want to talk about the actors in this movie. And their respective characters, obviously.
First, I would like to respond to all the shitty points you just made. That's just like, well, you know, your opinion, man. That's my go-to line during this feud, just so you know.
My go-to line is going to become a reworked version of Shut the Fuck Up, Donnie, to Shut the Fuck Up, Idur.
Okay.
I love that. Yeah, let's do that, okay? Can we move on now?
Donnie, man. Poor Donnie. Firstly, they kill him, even though he has no emotional stakes whatsoever. But what a waste of Steve Buscemi. They should have made the most of that character. He's such a fun character.
Dude, the restraint they practice in terms of the characters that were a part of this movie, I think was amazing. All right, Donnie's character, obviously, like you think for the most part of the movie that he's just there. Why is he there? What's he there? But the true sort of emotional connect, especially with John Goodman's character, comes about when they're spreading his ashes. So then that's when it hits you sort of like a bomb that, oh my God, this guy actually meant so much to these characters.
Nothing hits anything like a bomb in this movie because it's not supposed to. It's just a series of events that are barely disconnected.
Yeah, super easygoing, super chill. You just want to kick up, have a smile on your face, like while watching this movie.
No, you don't. You know why? Because we're talking about the other characters like Donnie, right? Walter, John Goodman's character, is so annoying. He's just
annoying?
So annoying.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's like the one of the strongest characters in the movie.
Strongest in terms of like wearing his character on his sleeve, yes. I mean, I get what they were going for, I believe, you know, sort of the interplay between the dude who's the result of the Vietnam War hippie generation, like the, what was it called, flower power generation? And then Walter, who's like a vet who pretty much never got over it. And oh, look at that, they're best friends and they bowl together. It didn't work for me at all. The thing is, I concede the dude as a character in a movie. Not this movie, but just Jeff Bridges playing a character like that. That's brilliant, man. You know, a hippie in like modern times pulled off by Jeff Bridges looking how he does would have worked for me. But to have him interplay against this film noir plot, which we'll get to, I hate film noir. There's nothing more annoying to me as a genre than film noir. And John Goodman's character, Walter, what a waste, man. What a waste of Steve Buscemi first, and then what a misuse of John Goodman. John Goodman is best as like a happy-go-lucky know-it-all, or like a badass if he needs to be. He's just cringeworthy. Just annoyed me.
Shut the fuck up, Idur. I think John Goodman's character was, obviously the dude's character is the best character in this movie. I think John Goodman was a close second.
I think John Turturro's Jesus character is the best character
John
in this
Turturro
movie.
John Turturro is hilarious, but he just doesn't have enough screen time to be characterized as a character.
Another waste. They just wasted all their collaborators. John Turturro, great example.
I think, just coming back to the restraint they showed in terms of this movie was perfect in terms of the screen time these guys got. Like John Turturro having more screen time would have wasted the movie completely. Turturro's character, by the way, dude. Jesus?
Jesus?
No, it's Jesus, right?
Or it's Jesus.
It's hilarious, dude. Like just as soon as he enters, everything he says is literally laugh out loud, man. Like, are you ready to be fucked, man? Me and Liam are gonna fuck you up. It's hilarious. Everything he says is so funny.
That's not a bad Jesus, I'll grant you that.
So funny, man. But then again, it's the perfect amount. I think they're in plans of making like a spin-off with John Turturro's character as the base of that spin-off. That would work well there. But John Turturro's character becoming a more involved character in this particular movie did not work well.
Dude, imagine if Walter was replaced by Jesus. Isn't that a funnier movie?
No way. Walter's hilarious. What are you talking about?
He's not, man. This just brings me to the broader point here.
Walter is the foundation of the most widely used meme in our day and age.
No, it's not.
Come on, that meme with him cocking the gun?
Nah, it's not.
Come on, dude. From a movie, I can't think of anything that comes to my mind like that effortlessly.
Yeah, well, there's that Neil deGrasse Tyson one with his hands. Whatever. Let's not talk about memes. Let's talk about how much better this movie would have been if they actually made it like a stoner comedy. Like at the end of the day, that's what they're making, right? They're making a stoner comedy. Yes.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. It's their homage to
film noir,
which they've obviously been heavily influenced with, yet they made it this outrageous comedy, and it's so brilliant. Like no one can conceive this, no one can execute on this.
Okay, control,
yet alone come to a movie which is even barely watchable, and this movie is literally on the top 250 for a fucking reason, man. Like this, like it's just my opinion, man.
Oh, thanks for already using my rebuttal. But can you just control? Can you keep your action in check, please, for this movie while
I'm
we
trying.
Talk it out?
Look, I'll be honest.
You're
I'm
not
trying.
Doing a good job.
I'm trying, dude. What more can a man do?
Harold and Kumar did it better.
Did what better?
A fun stoner comedy experience better.
Yeah, this is not a stoner comedy, so you're comparing it to the wrong genre.
It is a stoner
Now, if you just
comedy.
Come up, going to throw all stoner comedies at me, then shut the fuck up with her.
Dude, Where's My Car did it better.
In my mind, I'm trying to think of all the stoner comedies I know. What's the Dave Chappelle one? Is that next in your list?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay. Also, it's only white people? You're just being racist?
Yeah, well, I guess. Friday did it better. That's a stoner comedy, yeah. The thing is, even have you watched Inherent Vice? Like, really good filmmaker making this almost inexplicable plot. Like, oh, because the point is not to follow the plot. Okay, fine, I'm not following the plot. But at least I should get more out of the character by non-random shit happening, right? In this movie, one thing happens, the next thing happens, the next thing happens. They don't need to be interrelated. It's just a way to showcase a character. So you end up with a lot of scenes that are, if I was to put my movie critic hat on, not greater than the sum of their parts. The scenes are trees and the forest doesn't make for an interesting watch. This movie sucks, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, you have a reviewer hat on. I'd like to talk about critics who reviewed this movie and the overwhelming amount of critics who backtracked. Like they see this movie in 1998, they've never seen anything like this. So whatever you don't understand, you sort of just tend to not like. And big reviewers, including the late great Roger Ebert, gave it like a 3.5 out of his 5-star thing. And he backtracked and he made it to a perfect review. Why is that? Because you mull over the movie, you see what they've actually created. As soon as you realize that it's magnificent and it's beyond everything that you've ever seen, you change your mind.
They probably just had too much pressure from all these like dudism people who just kept
telling
them.
At least they're true to themselves, unlike someone I know.
Excuse me. You know what? In 20 years, I'm going to write a review of The Big Lebowski and double down on exactly what I'm saying right now.
You're just going to be hated. You're not going to get page views, man.
Which, by the way, some reviewers did as well. They were just like, yeah, no, still don't get it, still don't like it. Or they were just like, you know what, I haven't seen it, no interest.
All of the reviewers, all of the major reviewers, so Washington Post, for example, did this piece where they looked at the reviewers, made these major like Slate and, you know, The Atlantic and The New York Times and all of these guys reviewing this movie in 98. And they went back to them in 2018. And all of them, except for this one guy who said, I haven't seen it since, so I can't comment. All of them said, yeah, we kind of made a mistake. The point is that the vagueness that they've shown in this movie, right? It's conscious. Like Joel Cohen came out and said that the plot is secondary.
And yeah, it's like they just wrote out a dream for a half hour and converted it into a two-hour movie.
I don't think that's true, man. I think the cinematography has a lot to do with it. I mean, Roger Deakins is an effing boss at what he does, and it's very evident to see. And just the way, like, according to me, like, whenever I watch this movie, it's as if I've become the dude, or my mindset is such that I'm the dude. And this is how my life unfolds in front of me.
Yeah, but that's, I've told you, you need to cut back on the weed, bro. Like, it's getting too much.
I don't know, dude. I think it's a very tough thing to do.
Aha, you said, dude. Unrelated to Jeff Bridges.
And I did not accept your challenge, if you've forgotten already.
Oh, yeah, wait, you didn't. Yeah. Weak. You're weak.
Yeah, I'm weak, dude. I'm just saying that.
You said it again.
I will continue to say that's what it means when I don't accept your stupid challenge.
Why is he called the dude? What's that about?
It's just, he's the epitome of a dude.
It's really lame, dude.
See?
I said it too.
Why do you say that word? Think about it. Why do you say that word?
It's another word for guy. It's another word for man.
You don't say guy. You, like, in today's day and age, you either say dude or you say bro. Maybe you say man.
No, okay, fine. I agree. It's the word you use to refer to someone. Why is Jeff Bridges' character called the dude?
Because he is the epitome of a dude, quote unquote.
No,
a
he's
dude.
Not. Yeah, so he is Walter in a way. He's more manly.
Walter's a savage dude. Like he's an angry guy. He's not chilled out. He's not laid back. He's not like easygoing. That's what a dude is. What's up, dude? And I don't expect a response with you pulling a gun out and cocking it in my head. It's like, how dare you call me that? That would be Walter. This guy's the dude.
You didn't say anything. You just said a bunch of words and said, this guy is the dude.
I'm being as vague as this movie's plot is supposed to be.
Exactly.
If you don't get it, you don't get it. It's okay, Vidur. Okay. You don't have to feel bad about it.
You know what? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Clearly. That's because my mind is secure right now. It's not affected by substances. I'm sure if I did the right mixture of chemicals and reefer and smoke something, I'd get it.
I don't think substances have anything to do with it. It's if you're a fan of good movie making, you'll enjoy this movie. And
I am a fan of good movie making. I'm a fan of great cinematography. And you brought up Roger Deakins. Another waste. This movie is waste. John Turturro, waste.
Because there's not explosions or like something that's like, oh my God, what is happening? Like that is not what a definition of a good movie is.
Steve Buscemi, waste.
The restraint that's shown, they purposely showed restraint here in terms of where what character does and how he does it and how this movie flows. That's actually a skill.
Roger Deakins, uh-huh. Waste. Except the dream sequence where he's not wasted.
Mm-hmm.
There's two dream sequences, right?
Correct.
The second one, which is the longer one, which turns into a Bollywood dance number.
Which, the song, by the way, I'm in love with that song, dude.
That's my condition. What condition?
I'm
my
dropping
condition
in the edges. Yeah.
I think the song is cool for representing stoners, but we've been through that point. But the things that are happening in that song, like the dream, doesn't Saddam Hussein give him bowling shoes at one point?
Yeah.
I didn't get it, dude. Like, why are you laughing? I didn't get it.
Dude, I saw this scene again, obviously, when I was rewatching the movie. And then I was baffled by how many people look like Saddam Hussein.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's so many Saddam Hussein impersonations, like in so many movies. They're probably like different guys all the time.
But like most Indian uncles from the 70s are pretty much all rocking the Saddam Hussein look. It just caught on at the time.
And, you know, they so closely resemble him. It's not like, you know, they're like big differences. Like 100 people closely resemble Saddam Hussein.
Oh, my physics tutor was a Saddam Hussein.
Oh, God, man. Saddam, man.
Yeah, it was actually
what a generic face dictator he was.
It was actually pretty confusing because he was teaching us about nuclear fusion.
So you had your doubts?
Yeah.
He's like, he probably knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Bombs and stuff.
Well, coming back to the dream sequence, I didn't get it. You know what? The only thing that made me laugh was the one time the movie resorted to somewhat slapstick instead of just like, you know, funny quote, character-based quotes and all that,
mm-hmm.
is the Donnie's ashes scene when they throw Donnie's ashes.
Right.
And Walter just throws them into the air. They go back right on the dude's face.
He throws them downwind.
Yeah, he throws them downwind. And just the tight close-up on dude's face. And he just completely does not flinch when they go all over his face and beard.
Yeah.
And then right after that, Walter is just taking away the little specks that got on him before he turns around. Yeah. That's the only time I laughed throughout the whole movie.
I think that entire sequence is brilliant, right? Because the dude kept it together out of respect that, you know, we're paying our homage to our lost friend. And then he let John Goodman say his thing. And then he lost his shit after it was over.
Yeah.
And like just that awkward hug and then him restraining it and then him giving in. I think that entire sequence is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a bad ending to the movie, but then after that they go back bowling, okay, because the dude abides, he's back to bowling, which mm-hmm. to me is disrespectful to Donnie and Steve Buscemi, but sure, it's the dude.
It's the highest form of respect they can pay to Donnie.
I disagree.
They're a bunch of bums who sit around and the only thing they like doing is bowling, so in their mind, being respectful to Donnie is playing bowl, is to bowl.
And did you almost say playing bowling?
I did not. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then Sam Elliott shows up.
Uh-huh. Who's the narrator throughout, by the way?
He is the narrator throughout, and he pops up in the middle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's that about? Because the Coen brothers love Westerns, so Sam Elliott's there, and he's narrating, and he's a cowboy, and he loves dude.
Again, a very vague character. Like, there are so many questions out there. Is Sam Elliott God in the movie?
Yeah, yeah. I know, because he says,
I'm the man in this time or something along those lines, right?
For all you sinners out there, the dude, it's good to know that the dude is there, mm-hmm. which is to say the dude is like Jesus and looks like Jesus.
Except Jesus is Jesus in this movie.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Which is probably on purpose as well. And there's probably like 90 people writing their like dissertations on the role of Jesus and God and Sam Elliott and the dude and Jeff Bridges. This movie's exhausting.
Dude, I'm just fascinated with...
I think we're saying the word dude extra this time. I think just because we watched the movie.
We're thinking about it. We probably say it the same amount of times.
We should stop saying dude this much then, because it's stupid. This movie has turned me off from the word dude.
Sucks for you, dude.
Oh, man.
I'm so fascinated with how these guys use noir as their base for making this movie, right? And then the weird part about it is that it's essentially the movie is a character who's meeting new interesting characters as he sort of unravels this mystery or whatever the whole kidnapping and the money situation is.
As one reviewer said, he comes into contact with everything but a good movie.
I want to talk to that reviewer right now, by the way. And I find the beauty of this movie is that this mystery matters less than the interactions, right? Like the focus is on the interactions, the characters, how they come about. It's comforting, yet it's poetic and like outrageously hilarious at the same time. And it's unique because the inspiration is still a noir movie. And they stick with that relentlessly, even though at its core, it's a funny movie, right? I think that's fascinating.
Any genre that sucks as much as noir? Let me answer the question for you. No, there isn't.
You don't like noir that much? I'm assuming.
The genre has these tropes, right? Like femme fatale, and the protagonist will go and he'll become more embroiled in a plot that he didn't want to get embroiled in. I mean, people think they're making a good movie because it's film noir and they just follow those tropes. To me, if you follow tropes, that's not a good movie. And that's what this movie does as well. Like, okay, there's like randomly Julianne Moore shows up and she's like a femme fatale. There's like a mystery at the bottom. That whole Tara Reid, firstly, Tara Reid is in this movie. That should tell you everything there is to know. And then like, yeah, the
wait, what?
Tara Reid sucks is my point.
Yeah, but this is Tara Reid pre like whatever American Pie Tara Reid. It's like, this is like Tara Reid unknown. So it doesn't really matter what... She is now.
Doesn't matter. It's Tara Reid in the movie. Okay, yeah. Waste of Tara Reid also, by the way.
Waste of Tara Reid.
Actually, the only player not wasted is Tara Reid. But yeah, man, if they hadn't stuck to film noir, you know what? Imagine this movie as in some other genre. Okay, forget it. I get it. You have an affable slacker stoner as your main character. Great. You get Jeff Bridges to play him. Great. Somehow you rope in because you're the Coen brothers. You made Fargo. Steve Buscemi, John Goodman, Julianne Moore into your movie. Now, what do you do with it? Just imagine if they'd gone for any other thing except film noir. Imagine if they made it a musical and actually leaned into that dream sequence. Imagine if they made it an action movie, but the dude's at the center of it and he's a pacifist, you know, like literally the end of that movie. That would have been so much better. And if you give it a plot that makes sense or doesn't make sense, but is in a different genre, it would have made for a better movie. And in fact, I think they should do it.
But don't you think it's extremely fascinating that even though it's their homage to noir, but... at its core, that the protagonist isn't someone who's from noir, right? So that just adds so much more to it. It's not just a pure noir movie or their homage to a noir movie. It's not like a stupid 50s detective who's doing his case or whatever it is. It's this oddball stoner who can't complete a sentence without adding man to its end. That just makes it so different. It's not a complete noir movie in that regard.
Imagine The Transporter. except with the dude as the transporter. That's such a fun movie.
Really?
Of course.
A guy who you don't expect to do action doing action becomes a fun movie for you.
Well, that's what you just said about noir, right? Like, okay, it's not a typical noir protagonist.
Right, but he's not doing action.
Yeah, but he's caught up in action.
That's not a feasible example.
He's caught up in it. He ends up being like Jason Statham's transporter, just dies in front of him and he starts driving. And he's just like, hey, man, like, I don't even want to be doing this, man.
Oh, no. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Okay, imagine Avatar, except with the dude playing the main.
Oh, that'd be great.
Navi.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Is that what they call Navis?
I guess. Now they are.
Imagine Aquaman, who looks similar to the dude.
No, nothing actually works in my head.
Okay. Romance. Imagine the dude in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Imagine the dude in Before Sunrise.
Imagine the dude in Before Sunrise. Just like, let's just get off the train.
I have a question
man.
For you. I have a question for you, okay? So, initially, they wrote the role for John Goodman. They wrote the role for Buscemi, even Totoro to an extent. They did not write the role for Bridges. Their first option or who they thought would be best suited was Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I heard about this.
I can't picture that in my head for some reason, man.
They said even to them it was a long shot.
No, but that was their original choice. So when they were scripting it, in their mind, they were imagining Brando playing the dude. I don't see that, dude.
Yeah, but he's a legend. He can do anything.
Yes, but I don't think
he's a fat chameleon.
Oh, God. So much disrespect, man.
For whom? For Brando?
To call him a fat chameleon, yes.
Brando being fat is not a mystery. And
when we're talking about his acting chops and we're giving him his...
I call him a chameleon. That's the greatest reptile.
A fat chameleon.
A fat chameleon, yeah. What is he, not fat? Have you seen Apocalypse Now? They had to make the lighting black just so they could cover how fat he'd become.
They actually had a lot of problems with his weight during the shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he was a chameleon, so he pulled it off, you know? I think he would have pulled off the dude as well.
Jeff Bridges really brought this movie together, just like the rug in the movie brings the room together.
Oh, yeah? Well, then he should have been peed on, and that would have been a better movie.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Just wow. I think he's genuinely one of the finest actors of my generation, my dad's generation, all these generations he's been an actor
is
for.
Is he? I can't remember any other Jeff Bridges movie.
I mean, he taught me how to make a White Russian.
Speaking of White Russians, do you think Trump is a good president?
And that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feuded and you, the listeners, get to decide who you think won. Don't forget to vote on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website, anywhere you can. And let us know who you think won. Let us know what arguments you might have made. Let us know what movie you'd like us to feud next.
You can find us on iTunes, Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, CastBox, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate and subscribe.
Until next week, bye-bye.
Bye.